Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad that we know that the Lord lives. Oh, you know, I have come to realize that there's a lot of people out there that just think that Christianity is another religion. You know, when I was a girl, it seemed like almost everybody went to a Christian church of sorts. You know, I mean, we know a lot of it wasn't, you know, Acts 2:38 or anything like that. But, you know, they had a general belief in God. But, you know, I've come to realize, just talking to people, that a lot of people, especially probably in younger generations, don't know the story of Jesus Christ. They don't know what Christianity is all about. To them, it's just another religion. But oh, you know, we are so blessed to know that there is one that put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. I remember, and I know I've told this before, but I remember sharing that story with a young man. I suppose he was in his 20s or maybe early 30s, and he was a salesman, and he was selling me, oh, I don't know if it was the furnace, I guess, maybe for my house that I needed at the moment, air conditioner perhaps. And you know, nice man to talk to. You know, he lived in Madison and this and that. But, you know, I just came to realize he didn't know the Lord Jesus. And, you know, it was such a privilege to be able to sit across the table and tell him the story of God's great love. Praise the Lord, how he came to this earth as a son of God to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, that's just the basics. But you know, I think there's a lot of people that don't know the reason Jesus Christ came. I really think, you know, the very premise of the gospel isn't always realized. But thank the Lord, oh, the beautiful story. Oh, yes, a God loved us so much that he put on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, yes, people excuse sins in this time that we live in. They just almost think it's, you know, cute. And you see those little signs all over the place where, you know, it's so excused. And things that are sinful are, you know, cute in their eyes, it seems like. But God doesn't see it that way. Oh, yes, sin separates us from God. And, oh, you know, people are so without that understanding in this time that we live in right now. So thank the Lord if he's opened our eyes and we can see and we can understand and we have this knowledge. We've been touched by the Lord and we know that he lives. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, so thankful that we can gather here tonight and present the scripture. Oh, yes, praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, because he lives. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's go into the Word of God, but first, let's pray and talk to the Lord Jesus here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for such a privilege. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Thank you, God, for the knowledge that, oh, God, we are acquainted with, Lord. And we don't have to live in doubt. We don't have to live not knowing thee, Lord. Oh, God, we don't have to wonder what life is all about, Lord, because you have touched us. You have moved in us. You've given us faith. You've given us eyes to see, Lord, and a heart that can comprehend, oh, God, the good things of God. Oh, Lord, we pray, oh, Lord, that you touch us here tonight. I pray that you would move with your word. I pray that it would go forth and do that which you've ordained it to do, Lord. Oh, God, we give you this service. We ask that you would move in many hearts and many lives. Oh, God, you know the challenges are many, Lord. You know we could do nothing without you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would work here. Oh, God, I pray that you would deal with our hearts and help us, Lord, to see and understand and draw closer to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, oh, God, we just pray for those that are afflicted, those that are sick, Lord. And I bring, oh, Lord, Anna Marika before thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, you know her need even now, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would touch her body, oh, Lord. I pray that you would heal her, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd give her strength, that you'd give her health, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd move in a mighty way, Lord. We bring her to you, Lord Jesus, and ask, oh, Lord, that you would touch her and heal her. healer in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. And oh God, oh Lord, I pray for my daughter Becky, Lord, who has a pending surgery tomorrow on her hand. Pray that you'd help my daughter, oh God, that you would work in her heart and help her, oh Lord, oh God, to realize thy greatness and the wonder of salvation, Lord. Oh God, wake her up, Lord Jesus. Stir her heart, Lord Jesus. And oh God, I pray that you'd be with her with that surgery. Oh Lord, if it goes forth, oh Lord, let there be no errors. Oh Lord Jesus, let there be wisdom, Lord. And oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd use it to stir her heart and move in her life. In the name of Jesus, oh God, you know every other need, Lord. Oh God, every other situation, Lord. Oh God, help your people, Lord. Help Penny's dad, Lord. Raise him up, oh God, give him strength. Move in him, Lord Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah, Lord. Oh God, you know how to do great and wonderful things, Lord. You're not limited. Oh God, you're not limited. And oh God, we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in thee, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord Jesus. Work in a mighty way, Lord. Oh God, touch Penny's mother too if she's still going through the shingles. Yes, oh God, Lord. I pray that you touch her even right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that those shingles would go away in the name of Jesus and not come back. Oh God, we bind that spirit of affliction, Lord, and ask, oh Lord, that you'd help her even now in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Have your way here tonight. Move in a mighty way. Help us. Strengthen us. Use this message. God, give me the words. I know I could do nothing without you, Lord. Work in a mighty way, Lord. Oh, God, for great is thy compassions toward us. Great is thy love, Lord. Great is the work of Calvary, Lord. And I pray that you'd work in our hearts. In the name of Jesus, let the devil be bound. Let him have no place here. And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. We serve such a mighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're planning to go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. We know this chapter is all about charity. It's about agape love, the love that Jesus Christ has shown for his church. It's about a love that gives without expecting anything in return. Amen. Yes. And you know, in the Bible, most often it seems in the New Testament that the word love is referring to God's agape love. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. It's just down the line. Occasionally, there's filial, the love that is shown through affection and friendship, and it means to be a friend, and that's a good connotation, and that's a good word. But almost exclusively in the New Testament, it seems that the word love is agape. Oh, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord. It's charity, in other words. Maybe not always coming out as charity, but the love that's in reference there in the scripture is agape love. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The Greeks were acquainted with eros, which is a physical love, and they talked about that a lot at that time period when Jesus walked this earth, but there's no reference to that in the New Testament. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, we thank God for the love that Jesus Christ has shown us. Oh yes, as an example to us, so that we might go forth and be his disciples. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Let's look at some scripture here before I go into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Let's go to 1 Peter to start here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read 1 Peter 4, verses 7 and 8. And Peter writes here in this fourth chapter, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And my, if he could say it back then, how about right now? Oh, yes, I think we better be sober. We better be serious-minded and contemplative on the things of God and watch unto prayer. Amen. And verse 8 tells us, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Oh, praise the Lord, what a verse that is. But here we are being admonished above all things to have this fervent, this glowing charity, this love among ourselves. And then it says, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And praise the Lord. You know, it seems to me that it means that charity is such a wonderful characteristic and so becoming and so mighty, so great that, you know, it can cover faults in a sense. Not that we don't need to, you know, bring our faults and failures to the Lord, but, you know, it's so great that if there's fervent charity among ourselves, that people will see Jesus in us. And oh yes, some of the blemishes, some of the flaws can be overlooked if there's true charity in our heart. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to have a love that only Jesus Christ gives. And I believe you can't really have this kind of love unless you know the Lord Jesus. Amen. I believe that's a prerequisite. Amen. To have charity, to have agape love. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go now to John, the 15th chapter. And here in John 15, I want to go to verse 12 here. It tells us in verse 12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he says in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Oh, that's the full extent of it. And that's, you know, the greatest thing, the greatest way that we could ever show our love. And of course, we know that is the gift of salvation. That is what Jesus Christ did for us. Oh, yes, he was showing love to the full, to the fullest capacity. Oh, when he laid down his life for his people, Yes. For his friends. Amen, his children. And then he says in verse 14, ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. And see, it all rests upon our ability to listen to what he has declared in his word, to obey his commands. Oh, to heed his word. Amen. That's going to tell a lot. That's going to tell how our relationship is with the Lord Jesus. And that's what he's looking for. It's prerequisite. It's important. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. That he says in verse 15, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's one of the purposes of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to show us the things that God would have us to know, that he would reveal to us, even things to come. Praise the Lord. And that's, you know, due to the Lord's, his feeling toward his people, his friendship with us, his love for us. And that he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And then verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Oh, yes, so this is an expectation from our Lord, and it's even a command here. These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen. Oh, yes, that's a fruit of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amen. And it's going to show if we truly love him, if we really are doing his commandments, if we're going forth in faith and believing God and doing his will. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And then going to John, the 13th chapter. And here in verse 34, John 13, verse 34, Jesus told his disciples. He says in verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And then, oh yes, look at this. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another.
Amen.
Oh, what an indicator, what a token there. Oh, that's how the world can see Jesus in us. And that's how they can know that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, pretty impressive, isn't it? Oh, yes, if we can have the love that Jesus Christ has shown for us. Amen. Oh, it's going to show. It's going to be an indicator in how very important it is. Amen. Oh, to tell that relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. And praise the Lord. The book of 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, has so much to say about our need to love one another and our love that is of God. We know, oh, it's because he loved us first that we can love him and love each other. And just going to 1 John 4 for a few verses here, verse 7 here, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. See, it's a fruit of knowing God. We can't have this kind of love unless we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, unless we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit. Amen.
Yes.
And verse 8 tells us, he that loveth not knoweth not God. See, there it plainly tells us that. For God is love. In this was manifested or revealed the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's the most beautiful story ever told. Yes, it says in verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, yes, he came to appease our sins, to pay the price for our sins. Oh, to propitiate for our sins. Otherwise, we were out there with these sins, and how could we get rid of them? Oh, they were on our back. How were we going to get rid of sin?
Amen.
But praise the Lord, our God loved us so much.
Yes.
Oh, that he came to this world as the Son of God. He Amen. Put on flesh. He, oh, stooped to that low position to put on flesh as a mortal being to save us from our sins.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And then it tells us in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all an indicator. Oh, yes, we love him because he first loved us. That is so true. And you know, oh my, this whole chapter is so beautiful. Verse 12 tells us, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. 13 tells us, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And look at verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And verse 18 tells us, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how we need boldness in the day of judgment. And oh, yes, it only can be because of the love that Jesus Christ has shown us and put within us. Oh, yes, so that we could come to him, oh, in repentance, and oh, go forth to obey the command to be baptized in his name and be a recipient of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So that when we stand before him, there's no sin there. Oh, it's gone. Oh, by that gift of Jesus Christ. So we can stand there in boldness.
Yes.
And not fear and trembling. Oh my, I mean, it sounds pretty scary anyway to stand before God and give an account of our lives.
Yeah.
But praise the Lord, if he's cleansed us from sin, oh praise the Lord, then it's gone. It's gone. That payment has been done. Praise the Lord, if we went on to believe him and to obey the gospel message. Oh, yes, so that was love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And praise the Lord, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Praise the Lord, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, I know when the Lord Jesus filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, all those fears I had, they left. It was so amazing. That was one thing that was so noticeable. Oh, when I went down to the basement to get the potatoes that were in the cellar, I wasn't all afraid. I wasn't all afraid of the dark, you know. I could tell a difference, you know. It was different when I walked down the street. Praise the Lord. And, you know, when I laid in my bed and all those other things. Oh, yes. Oh, there were a lot of things that can trouble a person in this world. But praise the Lord, that perfect love that casteth out fear. Amen. Fear hath torment. Oh, yes, I remember, oh, man, there would be times when it seemed like my bed was shaking at night before the Lord Jesus came into my life. But praise the Lord, he was gone. When he filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost, it was gone. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And it says at verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we could not know the love of God except that Jesus Christ had made it known to us. Amen. And reached down to save us from our sins. And then these last two verses here in this fourth chapter of 1 John, it says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Okay, so there's a definite statement here. You know, if you've got these feelings toward a brother or sister in the Lord, you can't claim that you love Jesus. Because if you can't love your brother, your sister that you can see, then how can you love God whom you have not seen? And this chapter ends, verse 21. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, When Jesus came to this world, he came in to usher in a new way of life. And as he began to teach his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, you know, I could say that was pretty revolutionary for those moments. Oh, yes, because he was telling them things that perhaps they were not even prepared to hear. But oh my, he was bringing forth a new covenant. Oh, he was beginning to teach them all the details pertaining to the kingdom of God. And oh yes, that kingdom that he was bringing forth as he came to this earth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so if we look here briefly at Matthew, the fifth chapter, we can see these points where, you know, hey, it was one way in the past. But you know what? It's different now. It's different now. Jesus was showing them, an extreme difference, really, in many ways. It was revolutionary. Oh, the concepts that were under the law that he was beginning to teach them, that were under what would become the new covenant. So looking here, just a bit here, verse 27, here in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." And yes, they knew that. They knew that was part of the Ten Commandments. But he went on to say, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." And then he went on to say, "And if thy right hand offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Oh, I'll tell you what, anything we have to suffer or go through in this world in order to obtain eternal life is going to be worth it. Oh, yes, anything to escape the damnation of hell. Amen. And verse 30 goes on, "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." And I'll tell you, sometimes, you know, people don't understand. Hey, I'm going through this really hard thing, and I don't understand. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense, perhaps. But God has reasons, because, oh my, we all need, oh yes, to make it into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And oh, there might be obstacles in our lives that have to go. There may be problems that are not profitable in our lives. There may be edges that have to be trimmed and cut off and everything else, that refinement process, in order for us to make it into heaven. So, oh my, if we have to go through a little bit of this and that, oh, if we make it through into heaven, it's going to be worth it. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
And so then there's another, "It hath been said," in verse 31. It says in verse 31, "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." But okay, here he's coming. Jesus Christ is saying, "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." Oh, praise the Lord. No, there's another thing that Jesus Christ is introducing. Oh, there's a turn from the law here. No, it is a greater element than the law could bring forth. And then it goes forth to give us another "you have heard" here in verse 33. "Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths." In other words, you know, if you made an oath, then oaths were allowable under the old law, under the old covenant. But, you know, they well knew that if they made an oath, that they could not renounce that oath. But they had to perform it unto the Lord, the oaths. But now Jesus is going forth to say in verse 34, "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." Okay, so yes, he's telling them, don't swear at all now, you know, but, you know, let your yea be yea, let your nay be nay. Say what you mean, and yes, perform it. And then another one here, verse 38. He says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said." Ooh, here we go. "An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." But oh boy, he says, "But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." Oh, he's saying go way beyond what they expect you to do. And it's not any longer that eye for an eye. You did this to me, so I'm going to do it back. I'm going to have revenge. A tooth for a tooth. But no, no, he's saying, I've got another way. I'm showing you another way. I'm bringing forth the new covenant. And then, oh yes, he goes forth in verse 43. He's got another one of those. "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But he goes forth to say, hey, look at this. "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Oh, not easy things to do. And I tell you what, it's going to take the love of Jesus Christ to get you to this degree where you can literally love your enemies, literally bless them that curse you, oh, to do good to them that hate you, and yes, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And oh, yes, because it's going to show. It's going to show whose child you are. Verse 45 tells us that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? You know, I mean, that's normal. That's, you know, behavior among most people. Do not even the publicans do so? But oh my, see, oh, there's a level of love that only comes through the Lord Jesus. Oh yes, and it must grow. It must come to a point of maturity. And he's talking about that in verse 48 when he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. The new covenant that Jesus Christ was bringing forth. The departure from the things that they had heard in the past. But oh, yes. There is a greater thing. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was going to show a love that had never been realized before.
Yes,
amen. He was going to bring forth that love in such a way, oh, that he would put it in our hearts. And with the expectation that we would love one another with the love that Jesus Christ has shown for us. Praise the Lord. Oh, the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, his plan, you know. We know that he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. As we know from the third chapter, but we know that he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, the love of God. Oh, he does not desire to send people to the lake of fire. No, that's why he came to this world. That's why he came, to save us from our sins, so we didn't have to be condemned, so we didn't have to go to the lake of fire.
Amen.
No greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Oh, yes, and ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that's the gift of God's love toward us. Amen. The gift of salvation, a God who loved us so much that he paid a very dear price that we might be saved, that we would not have to be condemned. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, how we love the Lord for his gift of salvation. Amen. Do you love the Lord tonight? Amen. Oh, he's done so much for us. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So now, praise the Lord, I've gone through all this. And now I think it's time to go to the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that 12th chapter dealt with the gifts of the Spirit. And, oh, yes, they are to be in place in the church of the living God. And how we need the workings of the gifts of the Spirit. Namely, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the discerning of spirits, diverse kind of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. All of these things need to be in the body of Christ. But as we go into 1 Corinthians 13, there's this realization that even though they would be present in our midst, if we didn't have one thing, if one thing was missing, then all of those gifts would be as nothing, nothing at all, of no consequence, bearing no fruit. So let's, with that thought in mind, let's go to verse 1 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And here Paul is writing. And you know, the church at Corinth, I feel, was very zealous in many ways. Oh yeah, there are many things they had wrong. He's making lots of corrections, as we know. And you know, we'll go to the 14th chapter, Lord willing, maybe next week. But and that will tell us how to specifically use the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation. But anyway, this church, I believe they were very zealous in that sense, where they wanted the Spirit of God operating in their church. But you see here, you know, there had to be some warnings, because here it's told us very clearly here, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not, I said this one thing, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, just a big clang in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Oh, as nothing. Oh. And it goes on to say, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not this one thing, and have not charity, I am nothing. He goes on to say, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Oh my, that's to the point, isn't it? Oh my, you know, so here Paul is emphasizing, oh, there is one thing that you must have for sure if you are in the body of Christ, if you're putting on Christ. You've got to have agape love. You've got to have charity. And then he begins to show us the characteristics of charity. And here it begins in verse 4. These are the characteristics of God's love and the love that he expects us to have for one another and, of course, for him. Here it tells us, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. In other words, it's not going to promote itself. And it says, is not puffed up. In other words, it's not full of pride. It's not full of self. And then verse 5 tells us more characteristics. Doth not behave itself unseemly or inappropriately, indecently, in other words. And it says, it seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Oh my, it's hard to bear the things that are going on in this world. But oh my, there's no pleasure in the sins of other people. Oh, there's no pleasure in seeing their unfruitful works, their demonic works, their horrendous works. There's nothing to rejoice in that at all. But oh, we thank God for the truth that sets us free. Amen. And oh yes, oh, that charity tells us in verse 7, it beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. Oh, praise the Lord. That seems like a tall order. But you know, we could never get to this place. Oh, without the love of Jesus. Oh, and what he has done for us. And oh, the gift of the Holy Ghost that he puts within us. Oh, yes, so that we could know his love. Amen.
Amen.
It tells us charity never faileth. Isn't that amazing? Oh, it's amazing. You know, I thank God for godly people that have walked this earth. And, you know, I guess when I read some of these characteristics, I can't help but think of this dear man that was a part of this congregation for a period of time. It wasn't long enough. But anyway, his name was Brother Mick. And you know, we all grew to love this man. You know, he was of another background sort of at first. But, oh, praise the Lord. I remember he's so full of good works, and Sister Pat too, his wife. They just wanted to do all the kind things they could for us, and he was putting shelves in my bedroom for me at this one point, and yeah, Lord knows we needed them. My house doesn't have very many closets, and oh my, we had plenty of children, and there was plenty of stuff, and sometimes no place to put it, and so here he was putting up shelves for us. Now, I still remember this conversation because, oh boy, he hadn't yet known to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. But we were talking about it, and he was listening. And, you know, I was, as the Lord was giving it to me, I think I was sitting on the bed, and I think he and Sister Pat were up there, you know, putting the shelves up. And yeah, I think it was right before Anna was born, so I kind of remember all this. And anyway, you know, we're talking about scripture and, you know, reasons why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. And oh my, I could tell he was taking it in. And I just kind of knew that very soon he would be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And sure enough, when he saw it, oh, he believed it. He embraced it. And you know what? He even had debates with other people who were not so convinced. But praise the Lord, he was just such a profitable man. He did some studies for us, and he did some teaching. And you know, if you ever try to say something unkind about somebody else, he won't hear it. You know, I just can't help but think about him. You know, when I read these characteristics, and praise the Lord, I mean, all the kind things that he could think to do, he wanted to do them. Amen. And you know, when he left this world, and again, you know, we sure would love to have more time with him. He left us some money. And you know what? It was enough to pay off our house. And you know what? It's such a beautiful thing. But you know, we're talking about a life that was yielded to the Lord Jesus. A man that had agape love. Amen. Amen. And stood his ground and walked that road. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I know there's many other examples. Thank God. Oh, yes, for the dear people that have shown this kind of love. But oh, yes, the characteristics that God puts within. And oh, yes, that charity. Charity never faileth. Oh, praise the Lord. I think one of the last times I saw Brother Mick before he left this world, I think it was my daughter Jane had suffered a terrible injury. A finger was almost cut off. And I remember Brother Mick, and he was pretty sick at that time, but he came to the door to see how she was and he'd do what he could do for her at that moment. And praise the Lord. I'm not sure if I saw him alive after that point, or maybe we did go to his house and pray with him and spend as much time as possible, but oh, praise the Lord for such a godly example. Amen. Amen. But, oh, yes, as we continue here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 8 again, it says, charity never faileth. Praise the Lord. But, you know, all these other things. It says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. You know, we're all limited. We're limited in the flesh. We know God shows us great and wonderful things, and we have his word, but still, you know, there's a limit to our understanding. We just know in part. And, you know, I don't believe these finite brains that we have and everything else could possibly hold, you know, all of God's truth. But oh my, at this point, till we get home, we know in part, and we prophesy in part, it tells us. But then verse 10 tells us, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. See, you know, he's talking about the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He that is perfect, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that is perfect. When he's come, all these other things, oh, which we know in part, they'll be done away. There won't be a need for the gifts of the Spirit because it'll all be fulfilled at that point. Oh, yes, when we're forever home with the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So these limitations will be over. Who's to know, oh my, what we'll be able to grasp when we get home and oh, see the Lord and stand forever in his presence. So yes, there's a time when there won't be a need for charity in the world because, well, it'd be fulfilled. I'm sure that charity that was in us as we walk this earth is going to be even more abundant there in the kingdom of heaven. But oh my, you know, things that we needed for the moment, prophecies and tongues and knowledge, you know, it's going to be fulfilled in the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I know there's some misinterpretations for that verse 10, you know, but when that which is perfect, I know there's some people, some denominations, Baptists are kind of in this way of thinking, in at least some of them, where they think now that we have the King James Bible that that which is perfect has come. Well, I'm sorry, that is not the referral here. And oh, he's talking about, the scripture is talking about the kingdom of heaven. Oh, when Jesus Christ has come and fulfilled all things. Amen. And we're no longer, oh, in this realm, but forever at home with the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. And then, oh yes, Paul, as he's ending this chapter, he says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now he's using that, oh yes, to talk about the spiritual realm. And now he says in verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Oh, praise the Lord. And now he tells us as he ends this chapter, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we just see vaguely now. We just see as if it was through a mirror, and it's kind of dim, so we can't even fully envision it. We have a glimpse, you know. Oh, yes, we have great anticipation. Oh, yes, we have some knowledge. Thank the Lord. We have a hope in our heart. Praise the Lord. We have faith. Well, we're believing God. Oh, yes, but see, we just know in part right now. But oh my, that day is coming when, oh, we shall know even as also I am known, and things that are vague and not clear at the moment are going to be fully revealed at such a point. Oh, praise the Lord for his great and wonderful love. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank God for that which he has bestowed upon us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all that great love that Jesus has shown and his expectation that we would have it one for another. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, because there was one just going, oh, to Peter here for a moment here to just end this up here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Here in 1 Peter, the second chapter, it tells us here, starting with verse 19, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Oh, praise the Lord, that example that we have, the one who loved us so much, who did no sin, no guile was found in his mouth. But yet, when they abused him, when they reviled him, he didn't revile back. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. Oh, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Oh, praise the Lord. And thank God. Oh, yes, we couldn't have the love of Christ except that Jesus Christ showed us what love is all about, who paid the price for our sins. Oh, yes, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Praise the Lord, oh, the gift of God. Thank the Lord, oh, yes, and therefore, because he loved us, we are commanded to love one another. Praise the Lord, oh, yes, we can give it back. His great love, we can return it because of his love that he has shown to us and the love that he puts within our very beings. Praise the Lord, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to turn to number 166 in our chorus book and sing His Love for Me, number 166. Thank you.
Thank you. bone.